Niels Lesniewski is a staff writer at Roll Call. Niels, it's good to have you on the program this afternoon. What committees are likely most affected by the results of the election tomorrow, either from members who aren't involved in the election, they're retiring, or by people who might get defeated?
Well, it's good to be with you. Certainly the most immediate impact for people within the federal government will be seen at the Senate's Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, where Connecticut independent Joe Lieberman is retiring at the end of the year. And so that panel will change over its leadership, and it might, in fact, change over entirely, because if the Democrats maintain control of the Senate in the next Congress, Susan Collins, the Republican from Maine, who is the ranking member on that panel, will also be term-limited out as ranking member, which means there'll be new leaders both for the Democrats and the Republicans.
Now, are you getting a sense or hearing any buzz of potential leadership candidates on either side of the aisle for that spot? Because you're right, that's the biggie when it comes to the people that my audience cares about.
Well, it looks like that the most likely scenario will see Democrat Tom Harper from Delaware take over the helm on the Democratic side. And he's quite familiar, I'm sure, to your audience for his work, particularly on the Postal Service overhaul and fiasco that they've been going through this year. And on the Republican side, it looks like it will be the Oklahoma Republican Dr. Tom Coburn who will be the ranking member again if the Democrats maintain control.
Now, Senator Coburn is up for re-election, or his seat is up for re-election, and he said he's not going to run for re-election. So if he does take over, whether the Republicans have the majority or minority in the next Senate, that implies in my mind that in 2 years from now we'll be doing this all over again, and then he's going to be kind of a temporary hand on the helm of this committee.
That certainly looks like it. He has, as you say, already announced that he does not plan to seek another term, and so that's, in either case, it looks like on the Republican side there'll be more turmoil, perhaps.
The other thing that implies, if Senator Carper becomes the leader of the full committee, is he's currently the chairman of the Federal Financial Management Committee, and the other leader on that committee, the ranking member Scott Brown of Massachusetts, the last polling that I've seen indicates that he's not going to be back. If that polling holds, there's one of the most important subcommittees on that committee also that we'll see some new leadership. Any sense of what might happen there?
Well, at the subcommittee level, it's really difficult to say who will end up landing in which slot, because if you think about it, on that full committee in particular, and with the way those subcommittees line up, with Lieberman retiring, with Senator Akaka from Hawaii retiring, who has a subcommittee chairmanship, Carper potentially moving up, they allocate full committee chairmanships first, and then sort of subcommittee chairmanships in priority on the different committees. So it'll be difficult to see how all the chairs will rearrange. One of the people who, of course, is also involved in matters that are of importance to your listeners is Senator Claire McCaskill, who's in the close race in Missouri. And she, with her management ad hoc contracting panel, that's another place where there might be a lot of questions. So these are all sort of dependent on who goes where at the full committee level as to where the cards fall at the subcommittees, and it's really too early to know how all those chips will
end up. So the potential for there to be substantial differences in the makeup of that committee overall are rather great. When I look on the House side, Niels, I'm talking to Niels Lesniewski of Roll Call. When I look at the House side, I see a lot less potential for changeover among the committees that have direct jurisdiction over the federal government. Congressman Issa and Cummings at the top of the Oversight Committee look to be relatively secure. The Armed Services Committee, Chairman McKeon and Ranking Member Smith appear to be secure. The one that looks like it might switch up a little bit potentially is the Budget Committee, where the chairman is Paul Ryan and the ranking member is Chris Van Hollen. Is that an appropriate read on my part, do you think?
I would certainly agree with that. In fact, actually, regardless of the outcome of the presidential election, of course, the chairman of that committee, Paul Ryan, is the vice presidential nominee on the Republican side. But actually, regardless of that, Ryan is technically term-limited out of the chairmanship at the end of this Congress. So he would need a waiver from the Republican caucus in the House to keep going as the man holding the gavel at that committee. If he doesn't, either by being elected vice president or by being pushed out some other way, Scott Garrett from New Jersey and John Campbell from California seem like two likely people to take over for that. On the Democratic side, Van Hollen will probably stick around unless there's some sort of leadership move that he makes in the next Congress.
And that's actually where I was going to go next, because that's the only thing that I've heard that could be a potential switch for him, and that would involve Leader Pelosi declining to run for that job again. And the I guess the palace intrigue behind that is Steny Hoyer would be a leading candidate to replace her as Democratic leader. And folks wonder, I suppose, whether having two Marylanders in leadership would be beneficial or not.
Well, you know, it would seem that it would be beneficial around here, but I'm not so sure how they'd take that in the rest of the country. The other thing which we can't have end this conversation without mentioning is the Appropriations Committee. In the House, where Norm Dix, who is both the full committee ranking Democrat and the top Democrat on the defense subcommittee, is retiring at the end of the year, which means that there's going to be a fight internally among Democrats for those slots.
Those are some of the most requested, most desirable slots on either the Republican or Democratic side. Is that fair to say?
That's absolutely the case. It looks at this early juncture as though there might be a race setting up for the full committee ranking member between two congresswomen, Nita Lowey from New York and Marcy Kaptur from Ohio, who have both been on the committee a very long time. And so that looks like that might be contested.
And are either of those ladies in danger of losing tomorrow? Are they both pretty solid bets for reelection?
Yeah, they're both from safe seats. Kaptur had to overcome a intra-party challenge from Dennis Kucinich when they were drawn into the same Ohio congressional district, but they're both looking safe tomorrow.